Today's scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Oh, Mark sounds like he has a really bad cough. Is he okay? Man, I can't really hear your laughter. And Andy's laughter is all internal anyways, so it doesn't really matter. all right. Well, this is not the week that I was expecting to preach a message about gathering, right? Like, just the Lord has a sense of humor, right? Like the Bible passage that says, don't neglect meeting together. We're on Zoom. So let's just hear that message in light of God's greater authority and providence over all things. But before we, I don't know if jump in is the right word, but before we do this, why don't I pray and we'll try. Heavenly Father, we don't know why you are sort of directing the universe the way you are directing it, but we do trust you and we give you all things. And so we ask that you would speak even in this sort of odd format and would you encourage us, Lord? We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So today is meant to kind of help lead us to some changes that we are thinking about as a church and that we're heading towards, Lord willing, starting January 23rd, to be a little bit more interactive and community-based. And just kind of thinking about that and praying about that and seeing, like, where do we see that in Scripture? And this passage in Hebrews, really came to mind. And so I want to just spend some time focusing on that this morning. And I think sort of the illustration that I have, right, you probably saw it in the title, is invited to the party, right? So I was thinking about like pre-pandemic birthday parties, or if you're lucky enough to be born in the summer, you can still have like a birthday party. My birthday is January 16th, so there will not be an outdoor party for that. But thankfully my kids are born in June. So there's still a possibility, I guess, of outdoor birthday parties. But you know, growing up, or even when you have kids, right, you get invited to a party. It's exciting. There's cake, there's games. You know, the kids get really excited. Elijah just, and Evangeline just love parties, and it's exciting for them as well. But I want us to take a moment and imagine that you are invited to a birthday party, a pre-pandemic birthday party, where it's like one of your best friends. All right. So this could be, you could imagine your childhood. You could imagine, I know that was like 200 years ago for Alan. So you could imagine, you know, that it's a recent best friend. You're the one who said it, not me. So you can imagine it's a recent best friend, right? You're excited. Your best friend's party. You're going to go to it. A lot of your friends are going to be there. Imagine that you get ready, you get the gift, you drive up to your friend's house and you walk up to the front door. And just before you enter the front door, you look through the window. And you see the party, right? You see it's just starting. Your friend is wearing like one of those awkward looking party hats that we have that we love to wear at our house. There's chocolate cake, vanilla ice cream, there's streamers, there's balloons, all your friends are there. And it's like this nice, idyllic, perfect moment, especially as we kind of view it through the window of pandemic and where we are right now. But I think Hebrews 10 sort of points to a similar invitation, right? That we're invited to a very special moment, to a very sacred moment, to even a kind of party with someone we love. And, you know, maybe this is sort of a corny way of putting it, but like God has invited us to the party, to his party, to So the party of parties. And we find that in Hebrews, just like Lucas read. And our verse, our passage starts this way. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. That is an invitation. But before we focus on that, we need to ask, okay, so we see this word, therefore, right? And what's the saying? When you see a therefore, you ask, what's it there for? I didn't make that up. That's like a punny way of studying scripture. But you look back at the previous part of chapter 10, right? And if we were to read verses 1 through 18, we would find that the author of Hebrews, we don't actually know who wrote it, but the author of Hebrews is very like, talks about just like the Hebrew scriptures, right? That's what Tara Isles would call it, right? The Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, everything going on in the past. And he's talking about, or she, we don't actually know, is talking about the Old Testament sacrificial system. But the author is sort of critiquing the Old Testament sacrificial, saying that it could never really make people right with God, because you had to offer the sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, year after year after year for the people. So it didn't work, right? It didn't take away the people's sins. And so if you think like, oh man, like how we're forgiven in the New Testament is faith in Jesus, and how they were forgiven of their sins was just sacrificing bulls and goats, that's not actually how it worked, right? They were actually sort of looking forward to the ultimate sacrifice. That's how they received salvation. And so the author of Hebrews sort of pivots and identifies Jesus as the true and perfect sacrifice, right? Old Testament sacrificial system doesn't work. Jesus. It's like the perfect Sunday school answer, right? So we read this in Hebrews 10, 12, and 14. It says this, but when Christ, this is earlier in the passage, Lucas didn't read this, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So what's that saying is, the sacrificial system didn't work, but Jesus came along. He gave the perfect sacrifice through himself. He completed, he sat down, right? When you finish working, you sometimes come home and just like plop down on the couch, right? Well, Jesus is plopped down on the throne. He has finished the work. And he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So we've been perfected. We don't need any more sacrifices because we have the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Therefore, all right, so now back to therefore. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, to get to your friend's birthday party or to any party, right, you have to go through a door. Maybe that's the front door. In New England, it's like the side door. I remember Colorado, you'd go through like the garage a lot. Like, I don't even know why they make front doors. Maybe if it's like downstairs, you go through like the cellar door, or the basement door, but you have to go through a door typically to get into the party. And the scriptures says something very true, very similar, right? To get to God, you had to go through a door. You had to go into either the tabernacle in the Old Testament or through the temple in sort of the later half of the Old Testament once Solomon built it, right? God was behind not just one door, but like multiple doors, right? There's like outer courts, different layers of outer courts to the temple complex. And then you had to go through the front door of the temple. And even then you're sort of in like the foyer of the temple. And then finally you go through this curtain, the 60-foot high, it's probably like 4 or 5 inches thick curtain that's 30 feet wide, into this room called the Holy of Holies. It's like this rectangle, well, this square room, perfect cubed room. And that's where God's presence was, right? His glory, his Shekinah glory, his holy presence. So that's where the party is, in the Holy of Holies. There's a party and people were not invited. Like, everyone was not invited. So imagine your friend has a party, or a famous celebrity has a birthday party. And it really hurts when you know someone who has a party and like you want to go to it, but you're not invited for whatever reason. Well, imagine a famous, you know, birthday party, maybe a celebrity, everyone wonders, like, who's on this guest list? The talk of the town. And when the guest list is finally announced, the list is terribly short. In fact, it's only one name. There's one name on this guest list. That's kind of like what the Old Testament sort of sacrificial system was like, because there was only one person that was supposed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and that was the high priest. They had to dress up a special way, wear special high priest garb. They could only go in on the special day, the Day of Atonement. They had to take a bath. They had to sacrifice a bull and a goat. They had to do this very specific ritual to enter God's presence, right? And that curtain symbolized how holy God was and how unholy his people were, and that to get into his presence, you had to become holy, even temporarily, through these rituals. Wow, like, we're not invited to that party. What if we were still under that system today? Like, what if we could not come into God's presence unless we did all those things? That would be really, really hard, really depressing. But here's what Hebrews is saying. That through Jesus's blood, the perfect lamb, God has opened the curtain. Remember when Jesus died, what happened to that curtain? It was torn in two from top to bottom, right? Like, maybe you could tear something like a 60-foot high curtain from bottom to top, but it says it was torn from top to bottom. God did it. And I actually read this week, I didn't know that this was a debate, but some people wonder, like, did it tear the Holy of Holies curtain, or did it tear like sort of like the front sort of structure of the temple? Maybe it was both, right? Maybe there was just a complete, like, here's an entrance into God's presence. That's what Jesus did, right? He made open the way into God's presence. Jesus, through his blood, has given us an official invite to the party. Now, growing up, we did not receive save the dates. I don't know if you guys receive save the dates for birthday parties. That's like a thing now where you get like a picture of the kid and they're cute. I don't know if this will happen as kids grow older, but especially with little kids, you get like these save the date mailings. And Jesus has extended us through his blood a sort of an invitation, a save the date, that now we can enter into God's presence. It took a big sacrifice, right? Like, before, it would take a bull and a goat's blood every single year, but it didn't quite measure up. You know, there's this sort of traditional understanding. We don't actually know if this is true. Maybe some of you have heard it. I feel like I hear a lot of things growing up, like sort of in the church environment, you don't really understand like what's true, what's sort of like this tradition. But there's this saying that like the high priest, when they would enter into the Holy of Holies, they would wear a rope around their ankle and bells around their waist. Have any of you heard that sort of saying before? So that if the high priest was struck down by God's holiness, they could pull the high priest back out, the body out. We don't actually know if that's true, because there was very specific stipulations for what a high priest could wear into the Holy of Holies. And so for them to add a bell and a rope would not match up with those things. But the point was that, like, God is terrifyingly holy, right? Like, don't mess with God. Don't mess up this system for entering into God's presence, because if you do, God might strike you dead, right? And that's been sort of not overturned, but satisfied through Jesus, right? He has been struck dead so that we could enter into God's holy presence, right? He has paid the sacrifice so that we don't have to pay that sacrifice. And so the question is, are we entering into that party, right? Are we coming to communion with God? I've been invited to be a part of a wedding party this summer. I have a very good friend who's getting married, and I don't know about you all, but I always kind of wonder, like, what am I supposed to wear to a wedding, right? Am I supposed to wear a tuxedo or a suit? I imagine this is much more a problem for other people, but I always sort of feel it, right? Do I wear a tie? Do I not? Is it outside? Is it inside? Is it both? Well, God has invited us to his party, right? To his holy of holy presence. And he gives us the garment. He gives us Christ, right? That we're to put on Christ, that there's nothing better than Jesus. And so I don't know. I guess I want to speak to anyone who struggles with self-condemnation, right? And I struggle with this, but maybe you're afraid to pray or afraid to read your Bible or afraid to go to church or just afraid that God doesn't love you or that you don't measure up. Well, the call is not to just like beat ourselves up over and over again, right? It's to put on Christ. It's to try to focus on Jesus and just say, you know what, we're going to trust him, that he has extended to us the party invitation, that he has paid the cost for us to enter into that party. And so the encouragement then is to hold on to the party invitation, right? We've all heard of super exclusive parties with exclusive guest lists. Well, we have an invitation. It goes like this. Hebrews 10:23 says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So what does it mean to hold fast the confession of our hope? Well, we just hold fast that we really do believe that Jesus is the perfect sacrificial lamb, that Jesus really is our great high priest who enters into God's presence and makes a way to God possible. And we hold fast to everything he taught us. You know, everything the scriptures give us, the gospels, the whole scriptures. We just hold on to God and his word. But we also have to hold on to Jesus alone. So you can't hold like multiple party invitations, right? You can't sort of hedge your bets. Well, I'm going to hold on to Jesus and my good life and my good works, right? Like I'm covered because, well, Jesus forgives me, but then I'm also a really good person, right? Like that doesn't work. That's not what we can do. We can't hold on to Jesus plus another religion. Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever it is, you name it. It doesn't work that way. We can only hold on to Jesus. He is the only way to God. He's the only way through that curtain, that curtain that separates us from God's holy presence. Now go back to that friend's house, right? You've walked up outside the door. You've arrived at the house. You're standing outside the front door. You glimpse your friend and everyone gathered for the party. You watch for a little bit. You watch for a little bit longer. You notice that they start to play games. They cut the cake. They sing happy birthday. They sit down and they watch a movie. I guess they're wearing masks if this is pandemic era or, you know, it's pre-pandemic, so they're not wearing masks. And you just sort of stand outside the window watching. This would be really creepy. Right, this would be really creepy to watch everyone else celebrating the birthday party outside the window. But more importantly than that, it'd be like really sad. And then the party ends and you turn around and you drive home. So here's the question. Are we neglecting the party? Are we neglecting the party? Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 say this, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All right, so this Day of Atonement was this big, incredible day where all of Israel would gather outside the tent in anticipation of God and his presence, something special happening for one person, that one person would then have to pass it along to the rest of the people, right? So it's like we gathered to watch this person do their thing. We don't do that for church, do we? Like just gather to kind of watch the professionals on the stage, the guy or gal with reverend in their title, the worship team, right? But what if we have this awesome opportunity to enter into God's presence, right? If God says, come home, child, I've made a way to me. Like, are we truly drawing near into God's presence or are we running the other way? To me, it's really interesting, fascinating that this passage talks first about like the sort of the temple, God's holy presence, the curtain being torn in two through Jesus. And then it says like, don't neglect meeting together. Because there's some sort of tie between the two, between communion with God and us as a community gathering. And here's like the incredible irony of today's service that we're all on Zoom. We're all sort of like looking through our own little windows, right? Like this is a window and we're all sort of forced to be outside the party. We're doing our best to have like this long distance Zoom birthday party, and certainly attended those, and they're just not the same. So the question is, like, are we sort of doing that even when we don't have, even when we're not required to do Zoom? Like, are we sort of treating our normal time of gathering as a Zoom or this window event, right? And I'm not picking on, it might feel like I'm picking on people that just watch online and don't come to church. I'm not actually picking on you. I'm actually picking on sort of this purely passive receiving of the party, or sort of observing the party without actually interacting, with the other party attenders, with Christ. Right. And I guess the thing that I want us to take home today is that, like, church is not meant to be a spectator sport, but an interactive time of celebration, of confession, and worship, right? The passage talks about stirring one another up to love and good works. Is that a part of our church service, right? Are we actually stirring one another up to love and good works? Or are we just sort of entering into a similar geographic location and then going home? Not neglecting meeting together, but encouraging one another. So the question is, are we actually taking time to encourage one another, right? That, like the author's perspective on what church is and what it means to draw into God's presence requires stirring one another up with love and good works and encouraging one another. I think that's part of what it means to come into God's presence. And so it's very possible, if not probable, that we can also just come to church and sort of go through this sort of consumption of an event without actually stirring one another up, without actually encouraging one another. And so this is like the heartbeat of why we are making this change as a church service, right? Because we want to do church as God intended it. And I don't know when it was in church history. Maybe it was Constantine. Maybe it was the Reformation. Maybe it's just sort of been this slow, like, professionalization of the church service, right? Church went from this very interactive time in the early church where believers would gather together to encourage one another, to build one another up, to really, like, do life together, to this sort of, well, we hire a priest, right, to perform the sacraments for us, and we watch and we're in awe. And we do it in our era too, right? We're, you know, we have a band, right? Instead of viewing ourselves as sort of an all church choir, we have like a band who's on a stage, and then we have a speaker who's on a stage, and we're down below, right? And so it's like, man, we really need to think about how we can change that. It doesn't mean that those things are wrong, but those things need to usher us into encouraging one another and building one another up. That if we're there, like, you know, we want to have the birthday party as God intends it. And so this is why we are intending, Lord willing, to change our service time on January 23rd to 10 a.m. And for the first 20 minutes, it will be a time to sing Happy Birthday, Jesus, right? to celebrate him. And then for the next 20 minutes, we'll do a short message, kind of like today. Maybe that's like the toast to Jesus. I don't know what the exact lineup is. And then we'll have a more interactive time of discussion for about 45 minutes. We'll break up. We'll share what's going on in each other's lives. We'll encourage one another, right? We'll try to build one another up. We'll dive deeper, discuss the message, really try to move past just this sort of passive observation event to a, how am I wrestling with this? I think, you know, shout out to Carrie, right, and the women's ministry, and Angela, like, this is what you guys have been experiencing already for the fall as part of the women's ministry. And so we're trying to take that in, recognizing it's still important to hear God's word preached, and it's still important to worship, but really try not to just sit outside the window, right? And we are going to have a Zoom option. So, like, if you're someone who, for health reasons, can't attend the service, like, we do live during the COVID era, and we don't know how long Omicron is going to force us to be online, Lord willing, not much longer. But we are going to have a Zoom option, and we'd really encourage anyone that's watching online to to come and participate, right? So this is not a critique of watching online. This is a critique of just watching and not participating. So it's an option to participate, to be a part. So anyways, that's the party, right? And we're invited, you know, and maybe it's hard hearing me say this. Maybe it's discouraging, but you know, a good friend that saw you standing outside at the party would say, "Hey, come on inside," right? Like, don't stand outside, come and join the party. And not to point to myself, that's maybe this is more of like actually Andy's idea for some of these format changes, but like, actually, I think that's Jesus, right? Jesus invites us in. Jesus invites us into the party to encourage one another, to build each other up, to participate. And so that's the end of my message. I do have some like discussion questions. So if you want to try a little discussion after the service, you could stay and maybe John can stop the live stream and we can chat for a little bit before the business meeting at noon. But that's it. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Hebrews 10. Thank you for this call to gather together, to encourage one another, to be interactive and not passive. Lord, help us to do that as a church body. We know that it can be really uncomfortable and that COVID and masks and being in person or being online makes it all difficult, but we're going to try to do the best we can. So I pray that you would lead that forward, Father, that you would lead it through your Holy Spirit and that you would build your church, Lord, and that we would be a place where we get real with one another, where we share, where we go deeper, and where we really hear from you and experience you and are drawn into your presence. Lord, draw us together as a church body into your presence. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.